You're listening to Surf City on CFMH 107.3 FM.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Legere, and you're listening to Surf City on CFMH 107.3 FM. Now, it's difficult for me to praise New York City the day after the New York Yankees won the World Series. You see, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, and hating New York, the Yankees that is bread in the bone. However, there is a bumper sticker that circulated around Boston that expresses my conflicted feelings about New York. It reads, "I love New York too. It's the Yankees I hate." So why am I talking about New York? Well, I was down there last weekend to run the New York Marathon. My biggest fear, next to coming up lame on race day, was that the Yankees would win the World Series while I was there, and that I would be forced to be around for the World Series parade, and the pain would be even more acute than being in Toronto when the Blue Jays won in 1993. Well, that didn't happen, thankfully, and I didn't come up lame on race day either. I actually finished in under 4 hours, just under 4 hours, actually. To be precise, I ran the race in 3 hours, 58 minutes, and 49 seconds. Marathon runners are obsessed with their times. Don't believe someone if they pretend to only know their approximate time. Now, there are a couple of things that strike me about marathon running, and the New York race in particular. First, it's not really a race for most people. In New York, it's 42,000 people with a shared goal, running 26.2 miles as fast as you can, elbow to elbow most of the way. You get some measure of pride passing strangers along the way, but all you're really trying to do is reach your own personal goal. In my case, run under four. The second thing that strikes me about marathon running, and this is especially true of New York, is that marathons give ordinary people the rare opportunity to be cheered along by millions of people. The marathon draws nearly 2 million spectators every year, and they remain cheering along the route long after the race leaders have gone by. And in my case, long, long, long after the race leaders have gone by. Now, I found myself wishing I had written my name on my shirt, and those who did were greeted by a well-wisher shouting their name along the route. So what does this introduction have to do with tonight's show? Well, nothing, actually. It just happens to be what I did last weekend. Local musician Mike Bigger is with us tonight, and we'll chat about his new disc and have him play some songs live here in studio. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Very well, yeah. Very well. Well, actually, that's probably the first time there's ever been a preamble connected to an athletic endeavor before my music. So it's a first right here at CFMH.
So are you going to be inspired now to go ride a marathon?
Well, I'm inspired to go. I'm inspired to go to the sidelines and shout people's names and throw donuts at them.
If you'd thrown a donut at me, I would have grabbed it and I would have sucked it back, for lack of a better word. Well, before we chat, I'm going to have you play us a tune. And because I have to try and connect my intro somehow to the theme of the show, what I'm going to have you do is play one that has a passing reference to New York City. And it's the first one that on the disc called Wonderfully Made. You want to play
indeed.
That for us?
That's an excellent segue. Sure thing.
I try.
Caught in traffic with dreams so overdue. Turn right, turn left, don't know what to do. Buried deep in the dark and cold of the hard luck that I drew, she broke through. She comes to me like sunrise on the water. She sings for me like the coo of a newborn babe. She shines for me like the lights in New York City.
There it is.
She's wonderfully made. Sun up, sun down, days and years go by. Good love, life's tough, but her heart beats with mine. I'm half a man made whole with her, proof of the divine. Our love song rhymes. She comes to me like sunrise on the water. She sings for me like the coo of a newborn babe. She shines for me like the lights in New York City. She's wonderfully made. And when my dreams are falling apart, she reaches me. And when my dreams all fall apart, she teaches me. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Her and me and the yet to be in the here and now. I don't know how she comes to me like sunrise on the water. She sings for me like the coo of a newborn babe. She shines for me like the lights in New York City. She's wonderfully made. She comes to me like sunrise on the water. She sings for me like the coo of a newborn babe. She shines for me like the lights in New York City. She's wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. Yeah.
Thank you. That was great.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You. Mike lives in Rosseh with his wife, Laura, a fellow musician. And he's a former pastor who now works at Bayview Credit Union. And he has been named to participate in the showcase as a rising star at the 2010 East Coast Music Awards Discovery Stage. And that's next March, I guess, eh, Mike?
Yeah, March. That's right.
And his musical career started at the age of 6 when he was propped up on a piano stool behind a church pulpit to sing a song. Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Here's this short bio introduction to you. Thanks again a lot for coming in to play with us and
thank
chat.
You, man. Well, it's a privilege to be here. Thanks.
Now, before we chat, I want to actually go back to talking about the 6-year-old Mike. But first, I actually want to just ask you to talk about where "Wonderfully Made" came from. What's behind that song?
Yeah, well, it's about my beautiful wife, the love of my life, and you know, you draw inspiration to write songs from all kinds of places. Sometimes, I don't know, the beautiful sunrise on the way to, you know, work or something in the morning, if you can get past the dreariness of having to go to work in the morning. As long as it's not Monday, I guess. You know, sometimes it can be from listening to a little baby, you know, sort of coo and cuddle and so on. And in the Bible, there's a verse that actually says in the book of Psalms that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And I was reading that one day and I thought, well, if there's anybody in my life that's a construct of God, you know, kind of made by the heavens for me, it's got to be my wife. So I wrote this song about her called "Wonderfully Made." And the first time I sang it to her, I said, you know, I was singing it, and I was saying, "Wonderfully made." And I said, "What do you think?" You know, and I was really pie-eyed, you know, and everything. She said, you think I'm a wonderful maid? and I didn't get it. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Isn't that wonderful? And then, you know, sort of projectiles flew and, you know, sort of whatever was nearby. And
you were given added cleaning duties.
I was indeed, yeah. So I learned what it means to be a wonderful maid. But anyway, that's kind of where the inspiration came from, was actually a sort of a biblical reference. So,
And how long ago did you write that song?
Just this year. All the songs in the EP are just from this year. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, And that it's funny because that one is the one that really came the fastest, you know, and it seems to be the one that people speak of the most, I guess. So maybe they're not always good things, but people speak of it as long as they're not indifferent. Eh?
And you've been and you've been married for, what, 18 years?
Yeah, just over 18 years. It was 18 years in June. Yeah.
Wow. And a lot of couples, you know, after 20 years to write a tribute like that. Your wife is quite nice, eh?
Well, I'm paid well.
I'm into three now, and I'm sure I hope I won't be able to write like that in 17 years, but I hope the feelings will all still be there.
Right,
and it's obvious in that tune that it's still there after 18
totally,
years.
Man.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, let's go back to the beginning. I have this image of this little boy on this piano bench, you know, singing. So take us back to those beginnings.
Well, I don't know who first thought I could sing or who kind of identified it. I don't, you know, I mean, I suppose I was just sort of a, well, I'll say gregarious because it sounds sort of sanctimonious to say that, but probably snotty was more more accurate. Kid, I was just, you know, I was very, very social when I was a little kid and stuff. And somewhere along the way, somebody thought I must be able to sing. And so my folks, I guess, got me at the Wesleyan Church where I grew up going over here in Milledgeville. Put me on the piano stool, piano bench or whatever behind the pulpit, and I remember singing loud and proud, and I guess confidence was never too much of an issue. I don't know if I blocked everybody out or what, but so anyway, probably the residue of that six-year-old mindset remains with me.
So there's no performance anxiety in the six-year-old? You just get up
not
there
usually
and
no I don't think so there wasn't for me I don't I mean certainly I mean if there you know in, when you're in your mid-30s all those issues are supposed to start surfacing and none of them have so I guess that means I made it
Do you remember what you sang?
Oh yeah, certainly I do. Yeah,
what
sadly
was it?
I have a steel trap memory for minutia and nonsensical things, so you want to hear it? It was it was an old Sunday school song. I am a promise, I am a possibility, I am a promise with a capital P. Isn't that great? I am a great big bundle of potentiality. Yeah, there you go.
And did you? That's awesome. And did you have?
Sadly,
like
my teachers
somebody playing behind that, or was that just you?
Yeah,
up there?
No, there must have been a piano player. I don't remember. It might have been Marty Trafton. She was playing piano when I was a kid. So, sadly, my teachers could tell you I've never really measured up to that song.
But. So take us a little bit further along on your path. At what point did you start, you know, writing songs, you know, playing?
Yeah, well, really, I was music. There's never really been a time in my life that I wasn't doing something with music, you know. So when I was a kid, it was like Sunday school, you know, musicals, and then it was choir stuff. And then in middle school and high school, I started, you know, kind of getting into rock and roll and writing, trying to write songs and get into bands with a couple of good friends of mine. We would always be fooling around with music, and I remember there was a guy I used to meet with at lunchtime in high school, and we would sit and try and write lyrics. We thought, well, we're just going to force ourselves to write lyrics, and we would go up to the computer lab, I remember, and it was so long ago that there was only one room that computers were in, so, you know, of course, now that people walk around with them in their brains, I think, but back then, you know, it was the computer room, and we would try to write song lyrics. So yeah, that was kind of where it first started. Mm-hmm. Some of them were, well, I gave it the old college try, as we say. And I guess I don't remember any of those songs, which is, we're all grateful for, I'm sure. But nothing could top I Am a Promise that I'll do tonight, probably. So yeah, that's kind of where it started, I guess, later on in high school.
And before you worked for Bayview Credit and, you know, trying to take your music to the next level, you were actually a pastor for a while.
Yeah, after high school, I went to seminary and started working in a church in the 90s. Through most of the 90s, I worked in a church here in the city and worked as like a youth pastor a lot, worked with kids and did a lot of outreach stuff. And so again, the music was really prevalent there. And I was a drummer too. I was a drummer for when I was in high school, that was kind of the role. I was a singer and a drummer. I kind of fooled around with guitar a little bit. I never really got serious enough about it. And my buddy wanted to be a lead guitar player, so I got on the drums, and we thought we were ready to go. We were like in our white stripes, and we didn't even know it, see? And so in ministry, in church ministry, my wife and I would both sing, and we had kind of these
sort of praise band things in the church, and we would play in those, and a lot of stuff in that time.
So what influence does your faith have in your music in terms of how your songwriting's evolved?
Well, I mean, it has an influence in my music because it's a part of who I am, you know? And I guess my perspective is, look, somebody asked me, oh, so are you like a, you know, crossover artist? You know, because I've heard that phrase, you know, a number of times and stuff. And I kind of say no, because I feel like, well, I'm just who I am. I haven't really gone over to anything or come away from anything, you know. To be honest and not be disingenuous, you know, as a person, for me, my faith is a very active part of my life. And so it's resonant in the songs that I write, you know. But it's not like an evangelical endeavor or whatever, you know. I'm just trying to create art, I guess, create music, and be honest about it, and kind of, so my songs are sort of hopefully little bits of reflection on life and faith and struggle and love and crappy days and good days. Can you say crappy?
Yeah, absolutely you can.
Can you say it twice like I just did?
You can say it twice.
Okay,
good. We have a limit.
We have a limit. There's a cap.
So it's more or less an expression of who you are and what you care about, essentially.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in order for music to be really any good, in my opinion, it's got to be honest, you know? And if it's contrived, then it kind of loses its genuineness. And so I'm at a point in life where I'm really looking to connect to other people's genuine insights and reflections in the music that they create. And when I think about art across the ages, it seems as though when it was sort of a kind of an unbridled, honest expression of a person's own insights and thoughts about life, that's when you've got masterpieces on your hands. And so I want to try to not create masterpieces. And so it's before me now. Nothing can stop me now. No, I just want to try to measure up to that same sort of open and honest sort of reflection in what I write. And so, you know, as a Christian person, I mean, my faith is bound to sort of influence my songwriting, you know. But entertainment is, of course, the biz, you know, the industry or whatever. So,
Right, well, why don't we actually have you play another tune at this point? What would you like to play?
I will play a song called "See You Know You Love You," and this is the last tune on the EP. I have another. I go to all these efforts to keep the commercial coffee cup out of the out of the picture, and then I keep grabbing it to have a drink. I'm fighting a bit of a cold, so I appreciate your gracious ways in the midst of that.
And
so
we don't even notice.
Really? You didn't even notice? I never should have said anything about it. I'll hear about that later.
Maybe because my head's a little bit full, too.
Maybe you just weren't listening. Anyway.
Of course not.
We'll talk about that later. So this is called "See You Know You Love You." I'll have to do a bit of an abbreviated version, I think, but... Watching you through all eternity, waiting for your time to rise. I follow your steps to this lonely place and these uncertain skies. Now they say seeing is believing, and I've seen you time and time again. And I know that you've been living too long at this end of the pain. So I call you again. Can you hear me? Hey, you. It's true. I see you, I know you, I love you. Hey there, with those cares, can I get through to tell you I love you? What do I have to do to connect all these dots up for you?
you make your way through the mystery with the best laid plans of mice and men. Morning to evening, I'm calling you, and as night falls again, oh, the stars twinkling are singing, da-dee-da-dee-da-da, hey, you. It's true, I see you, I know you, I love you. Hey there, with those cares, can I get through to tell you I love you? What do I have to do to connect all these dots up for you? What do I have to do to break in and make you see that I've been here with you all along? Yeah, I'm all around you with signs to astound you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, you. It's true, I see you, I know you, I love you. Hey there, when those cares, can I get through to tell you I love you? What do I have to do to connect all the dots up for you? I tried and I tried to break through. What do I have to do? I see you. And I know you. And I love you, you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, so where did that tune come from?
Well, actually, again, it's kind of another metaphor, I suppose, in as much as it's, I mean, it's a kind of an interpretive thing, you know. It's got the essence of a person trying to just reveal their love for someone else, you know, and feeling sort of like they've done everything they can to break through. I kind of feel like there's a divine aspect of that, you know. I feel like there's a faith aspect of that where God is sort of trying to bestow love on the earth. That's kind of my belief, you know. And sometimes we're kind of caught in the run of our day and we're not able to kind of recognize that. And there's a lot of pain and struggle and hurt in the world too. So it can be kind of blinding, you know. But it's, you know, it's left kind of open, I guess, for some interpretation for people. I've had people kind of really connect to it in a different way too, you know, and that's cool. And it's kind of one of the great things about art, I guess, is that it hopefully can kind of be interpretive to people and effective nevertheless, even if it happens to apply in a way that isn't exactly where I was going when I wrote it, you know. Yeah. So hopefully it's got a life beyond just sort of the mechanics of it, I guess, you know.
I'm mindful of the fact that these are always so much fun, having somebody come in and play and chat, and half hour always goes by so fast. And
if only Hero were here, he could stop time for us.
Makes me wonder how you can actually do this in 5 or 10 minutes sometimes at other radio stations. We have a little bit more room to breathe here. But still, I want to make sure that before we get to the top of the half hour, that we touch on what's coming up for you. I mean, this is your new EP. You're playing a lot around town. Again, the EP, it's Mike Bigger and the Big Breakfast Special.
Yeah, it's the guys in the band, yeah.
Yeah. So where are you going to be performing in the next little while so people know where to go look for you?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm really grateful because there seems to be a fair bit going on, and I'm really lucky that way, I guess. Every other Wednesday there's a thing at the Vintage Bistro that I do, kind of a local live music night.
And that's up in Hampton?
Yeah, up in Hampton, exactly, yeah. We did that last night, and so a couple weeks from now I'll do that. And we've been having a great time since the summer with that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to be able to kind of help feel like you're part of, you know, encouraging other people to kind of kindle the fires of creativity and emerge, kind of come out a little bit and get into a lot of original songwriting out there, you know, right around the region. Just people need a platform, you know, mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be able to do that. Coming right up, there's actually we're doing an Everly Brothers tribute night next week, next Saturday. That's at the Vintage as well, with a guy from Moncton named Jimmy Hadley. And that's sort of the work of my manager, and I happened to mention something one day, and I've regretted it ever since. So there's a wild poster floating around on Giraffesicle and places of us for this Everly Brothers tribute. But hey, man, the harmonies are sweet, and the music's awesome, and it's timeless. So that'll be a load of fun, I'm sure. I've had the chance to do some good openers lately. Coming up on the 17th, there's opening for Astrid Young. That'd be Neil Young's sister. And she's promoting a book that she's written called Being Young. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I actually are going to share an opener for that.
And that's is that in Hampton too?
Yeah, that's at the Vintage as well. I live under the bar, I think, out there. I'm just sort of, I'm there all the time, you know.
This is great, though. It gets people out to Hampton to see
some
music.
Yeah, it does. And it's turned out to be, they've been very, very welcoming of kind of the entertainment there. And so it's become a bit of a stop on the way, you know, mm-hmm. kind of for a lot of East Coast artists, a lot of great top-level talent's been there. Jay Semcoe in early December will be there. I'll be playing with him, Jay Semcoe from the Northern Pikes, and a solo artist now, but, I mean, of the Northern Pikes.
And then you have coming up in March the ECMA.
Yeah, I was just delighted that we were able to get into do a showcase at the Discovery Stage, kind of the emerging artist stage there. So my first trip to the ECMA, so I'm very excited about that, and that's in March.
And where can people pick up the disc beyond your shows?
Well, Backstreet, of course. Backstreet. Gordy's always so faithful to the local
Absolutely.
Music. So, Gordy. Get that in there. Vintage, you can buy it there, of course, as well. Mm-hmm. You can get it at Backstreet in Fredericton as well. So, all you Fredericton listeners, rush down there and check it out. And then, of course, just off the stage, you know. Mm-hmm. I am allowed to sell it at shows, too. So, they trust me with them. I break a lot of them, actually.
All right, well, thanks a lot for coming in, Mike.
Thanks, Mark.
We really appreciate it. Enjoyed you coming in, and hopefully we'll get the opportunity again to have you come in.
Anytime. Oh, and I'll be here next Friday, I guess, for Sabbath.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Sabbath, the UNB show that takes place. It's, what, 5 o'clock next Friday?
Yeah, 5 o'clock, just down
and
the hall.
And that airs live here on CFMH, in addition to the... please do come in, though, and see that show live.
Well, I'm planning to. Were you talking
to
me?
Oh, I was talking to some of the listeners out there.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do it like from home, you know.
No. Judd might get a bit nervous about that.
It's like a famous artist that can't accept the award, you know. Yeah.
And what we'll do
satellite.
is we're actually going to play a cut actually off the disc to end the show. And what's that song going to be called that we're going to play?
Called,
and we're going to play this right off the album.
Yeah, this is called You Knew What You Were Doing. Mm-hmm. And many people come up to me after I play and say, well, I thought you knew what you were doing, but... Anyway, we have a good laugh about it.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks very much, Mark. Yeah, have a great day.
It seems so suddenly, they turned and smiled on me. Now I'm singing every day the sweet melody. I can't keep it to myself. It shows me and no one else. Now I'm stopping people on the street. I just gotta tell. So I lift my head and raise my voice. My hands go up. I dance and rejoice. And I found love in your arms. But don't you be so coy about your charm. Song. I figured you knew how you were looking when you put that sundress on. I figured you knew what you were saying with your angel voice so sweet. I figured you knew what you were doing, doing to me. Oh, oh yeah. It's like something when you're proud. You wanna sing and shout it out, but you're afraid. you'll jinx the whole damn thing if you say it out loud. Oh, I wanna ride it across the sky. It burns deep and I'm struck by how no words that I could pen or say ever could describe. So I bow my head and my voice goes still. My hands come down. It's so beautiful. And it's too good to just be an accident. And baby, I fell in the trap you set. Oh, oh, I figured you knew what you were doing when you played that old song. I figured you knew how you were looking that sundress on. I figured you knew what you were saying with your angel voice so sweet. I figured you knew what you were doing, doing to me. Do 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 do. I figured you knew what you were doing. You knew how you were looking. I figured you knew what you were saying. I figured you knew what.